I think it would be helpful if you could hear exactly what she told all of us, denouncing QAnon. I don't know if I say it right. I don't even know what it is. Any from the shootings. She said she knew nothing about lasers or all the different things that have been brought up about her.
Woo! Woo! Let's have this conversation. Hi. Hi, everybody. How are y'all doing? Oh, it's good to be here with you. I know what day it is today. I'm like, yesterday. Yeah, today's Thursday.
Yeah.
Yay! Thank you. That's the show, guys. Bye. No, today's Thursday. Welcome to the show. There was a lot of gossip and weeping and gnashing of the teeth yesterday evening. Oh, it went crazy because, see, they had their little house conference and they were voting on who is going to be in control of what committee. Things I don't care about. I don't care who is in charge of what committee. I mean, of course, I would like the people that I like to be in places that I like, but I can't stand the power jockeying. Welcome to the show, Dana Lash, danalash.com. Subscribe to the newsletter, because those who are subscribed to Chapter and Verse now, when we offer the paid feature option, you get a deep discount. So you're going to want it, because don't you want to be able to shut people down on the internet with all the stuff that I talk about on my show every day? And one of the most well-researched shows on the interwebs that doesn't rely on college interns to do all their stuff. Hi, it's us. That's why we're so popular and top in the nation. So, getting into everything that happened yesterday. Ooh, boy. I guess it was a couple hours after our radio concluded, our program we concluded that afternoon, yesterday afternoon, and old Hades broke loose because the Republicans were getting together and they were voting on who's going to be basically their House leadership, right? And the big question was whether or not Kevin McCarthy, the House minority leader, whom you heard there, whether he was going to demand that Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia, if she was going to apologize for some of the posts that she liked a couple of years ago and some of the things that she said online. And then there was also the saber rattling against Liz Cheney, because Liz Cheney she's at one point she wants to be House Majority Leader. And I thought Kevin McCarthy, I actually thought he did handle this well. He was not in an enviable position. Here's the thing. As House Minority Leader, he can't just be about Kevin McCarthy. The success of the party in the House is upon his shoulders. He has to herd all the cats. And I don't know about you, but last night I watched a video of some guy who was just like petting his, you know, his tabby cat and sitting at the computer. And then all of a sudden the cat went crazy and he tried to throw it away from him, but it turned into like Nickelodeon goo and like actually bent itself into a U, stuck out several more legs and attached itself to his arm while screeching. And he was shaking his arm and I thought he was going to lose it. He didn't, but I laughed and watched it for a half hour straight. That's basically Kevin McCarthy. That's deep, isn't it? You're welcome. That's Kevin McCarthy. And that cat is everybody else in the White House. So I do not, as I said, envy his position. Because if he were to say, you know what, you got to go, Marjorie Taylor Greene. And also, we're going to totally like kick you off of everything and all this stuff. I don't know. If he were to do all of that, and I hate how nuance is dead. Gosh, so much of political analysis is so stupid, I can't even listen to it. It's the same damn people who say the same damn things. Here's my cardboard vanilla wafer version of analysis. Yes, I said the same thing that your last guest said.
I said the same thing that the guest before me said.
We all said the same thing the other person said. I'm just tired of it. So he's in this position where if he was to just like wallop Marjorie Taylor Greene, it's not because there's a QAnon section. There are people who don't even know who the hell she is. There are people who still don't even know who QAnon is because the media is obsessed with it. Nobody else. And he would look as though he's taking a knee before the mob. It has nothing to do with Greene or any fealty to any kind of tinfoil hat, anything. It just would look like he's taking a knee to the mob. Now, if he were to run Liz Cheney out. Well, Liz Cheney, she voted her conscience. Somebody elected her too. I know people are like, well, here's the difference between Republicans and Democrats, by the way, sidebar. Democrats are like, Marjorie Taylor Greene needs to resign. She needs to leave. And there were a lot of Republicans, some that that were agreeing with her. But the difference is that Democrats demand people do something, but they won't actually let go to that district and try to root that person out. Whereas Liz Cheney, there are some Republicans that are apparently already have already been going up to Wyoming and campaigning for her opposition. That hasn't even been discovered yet, I guess. It's kind of funny. There's a little bit of a difference there. But Liz Cheney, regardless of what you think of her position, how many years ago did I tell you she was going to be going for this? I said, watch when the moment she was elected, I'm like, you got to watch Liz Cheney. She'll either be in House leadership or she'll run as somebody's VP. She may even run as P. Who knows? But she stayed in her position. I don't actually think she could run for president because people are trying to push Cheney. But she stayed in that position and she played her cards and she built up the capital. And that's why she felt comfortable making the move that she did. If people don't like that, her voters will take care of it. The same way if people don't like what Marjorie Taylor Greene did, her voters will take care of it. The thing is, though, is that all of the discussion about the Republican Party and the media representation of the party trying to say, oh, well, they're all Q now, really because of one person. OK, then you all are congressional ball field assassins. How about that? Oh, you all are block burning, lady beating, ICE detention facility attacking socialists. How about that? Because it ain't just a one of ya. The difference here, the Republican Party is like, okay, you apologize for this. I don't know if she's going to make a public statement. I don't know. And let's, you know, move on. And they also, Liz Cheney kept her spot. And she kept it by pretty, it was like 3-2. I can't remember. I have it in the newsletter. She won by a pretty sizable margin. It wasn't clinging to power as it had been. I think it was like 162 to 40 something, I think was the vote. So it wasn't like she was clinging to power. So last night I was texting with some of the members of the House of Representatives last night because at the end of it all, Marjorie Taylor Greene gave remarks in the chamber where she apologized for her statements. And I'll put it in because the media is everybody's still, they don't know how to deal with it. They don't know how to deal with it. They're trying so hard to make it look as though she's the, you know, she's, you can't make the claim that Marjorie Taylor Greene is the face of the party the same time that the damn party retains Liz Cheney at like what, on 160 something to 40 something. You can't make that claim. That's why it was smart what Kevin McCarthy did. And there are too many people who are supposedly political analysis on our side. They're too damn stupid to see it. It's right in front of you. So I was texting with some members last night because I started seeing these discussions on social media that Marjorie Taylor Greene had gotten applause. And oh my gosh, the media is like, oh, Republicans are applauding QAnon and all this stuff. Well, what ended up happening is that she got up and she gave remarks, and her remarks were, she apologized for the remarks that she had made, according to The Hill. She also said that she made a mistake about being curious about Q and had told her kids that she'd learned a lesson about what to put on social media. She also denied that she, this is literally the story. She also denied that she knew what Jewish space lasers were. And by the way, that I read that. And while it was stupid what she wrote there, I was really disappointed in the lack of the phrase space laser. There was an absence of this phrase, but it was still stupid what she wrote. And defended comments that past school shootings were staged by stating she has personal experiences. And I know that she's talked to some of my friends, parents in Parkland that I remain in contact with. She received a standing ovation after she apologized. And everyone that I had texted with was saying that she had, it was the humility of her apology that was what was being applauded. Now, she apologized, which is a rarity, and that's why she got the applause. Now, here's the thing. people either want reconciliation and redemption, or they're all just a bunch of posers who bought into redemption, denying cancel culture. Take your pick. And if Green committed a crime, then charge her. Democrats and cowardly Republicans, charge her. If she committed a crime, charge her. If not, shut up, because no one cares about your opinion unless you live in her district. Because they will handle it. I don't care about who's on what committee. I had somebody trying to reposition the argument. It was somebody who writes for the Bulwark, FFS. I had, and was saying, well, you know, you think, I was somehow trying to pretend that my argument was about committees as opposed to her seat. Which I thought was kind of dumb. But I also think Republicans need to stop being baited into this stupid nonsense. I will not be lectured by people whose morality is completely not, it can't even be seen or even measured against, you know, my worst moments. And so this whole, I mean, it's just to see what I, just to see the discussion last night, there were some Republicans who were mad and they were saying, oh, you know, I can't believe, you know, this is the Republican Party now. They were saying this before they even knew what was stated. So Republicans can be just as bad as Democrats with the stupid hot takes. I feel like we're actually devolving as a party. And I say we, I mean like me and then my friends, the GOP, because I always like to be Han Solo. Now, if we want to have a discussion of rhetoric and apologies, I would like to point out to you that Kathleen Rice, who is still a sitting congresswoman, in an era where Department of Homeland Security is calling everything terrorism, has actually classified me as a domestic security threat, in her own words, doubled down on it, refused to apologize. Twitter thinks it's completely acceptable. Just an FYI, some of the death threats that I have received that were investigated by FBI field offices repeated Kathleen Rice's exact language. So yes, I will encourage everyone, politicize anything if it happens. You have my permission. So keep that in mind if you want to have a discussion about rhetoric. Because a lot of the stuff that I see, that I get, that I have to forward on to a firm in New York that monitors things, is literally from this stuff, verbatim. And no, I'm not faking it by being in another building like AOC, which we're going to talk about as well. Because she wasn't even the she wasn't even in the building. It's like that Mean Girls scene. She doesn't even go here. She wasn't there in the building. And the way that she has tried to spin this, she got caught being manipulative. We're going to discuss that. We'll also discuss how there are warnings now against apparently special forces about extremist symbols. I wonder if they're going to bring the Gadsden flag back as an extremist symbol again. We have that for you. We're going to speak with my friend Andy McCarthy coming up also. And we're going to get into immigration because now, guys, don't call them kids in cages. They're just detention overflow facility containers. Stop it. Gosh, I mean, you know, why do you guys have to be so like bigoted and sexist and racist or whatever the ism is? Patriot Mobile is a longtime supporter of my show, helping to bring you free conservative radio. This year, Patriot Mobile is bringing even more to my loyal listeners with expanded wireless coverage. If you've contacted Patriot Mobile before and they didn't have the coverage you wanted, I urge you to call now. Their expanded coverage also comes with even lower pricing options. As America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, you get the broadest coverage of any provider on dependable nationwide 4G LTE networks with a company you can trust. Patriot Mobile gives back a portion of every dollar earned to support organizations in which you believe. Call now and receive Patriot Mobile's premier activation at no additional charge. Call the U.S.-based team at 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for premier activation and a free gift. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, promo code Dana, or call 972-PATRIOT. Patriot Mobile, their plans, your freedom.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So Mike Pence is expected to join the Heritage Foundation as a distinguished fellow. This comes after he launched his transition office, which comes after the story that they were couch surfing because they didn't have a house after they left D.C. They just got out of Dodge. I kind of almost get the feeling that he likes to just, he'll just go there for work and then they got to lure him back with like charts and graphs or something. I don't know. Just kind of funny. Also, oh man, this is what I was waiting for. This headline right here. New York Post says China is causing a ruckus over a Canadian order of Wu-Tang Clan t-shirts. Damn China. They were reportedly ordered last year by a staffer at the Canadian Embassy in Beijing, and they display the word Wuhan over the emblem of the hip-hop group Wu-Tang. Chinese critics slam the shirts, and they say they actually show a bat, not the New York City group's W logo, implying a link. How dare you, between the bats and the coronavirus that we first went with, and then we're like, no, maybe not, because everyone's gonna hate us. Foreign Ministry spokesman Wang Wenbin said Tuesday that China had lodged a formal complaint with Canada over the T-shirts. I didn't realize they had solved all the other problems, like, I don't know, raping Uyghurs in the northeast western part of China, to now they can get mad over T-shirts. It's actually being called a diplomatic squabble. Someone volunteer to make Canada these damn shirts. Say, we'll take the order. We'll print these out for you. I mean, why do you also have to order them from China? You know what I'm saying? Just, you know. And in the AP style book, it's used in place of a Bible at the swearing in of the 114th president of the National Press Club this week. It's a cult. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Sarah Carter, host of the Sarah Carter Podcast. Everywhere you look these days, we're seeing an aggressive effort to destroy what made America great, tearing down our history, attacking our freedoms, and canceling any person who dares to cross the progressive speech police. We cannot stand by and let this happen. It's time for the silent majority to become the unsilent majority. Join me on the Sarah Carter Podcast. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
Should you be wearing two masks or one mask? And I say, there's no recommendation. However, there are many people who take the common sense approach. If you're talking about a physical barrier, and as the CDC recommends, you want at least two layers within the mask as a physical barrier, and you feel maybe more of a physical barrier would be better, there's nothing wrong with people wearing two masks. I often myself wear two masks.
Whoop-a-doo-doo. I wear 6 feet of masks. Always wear 6 feet of masks at all times. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. They're even telling you apparently to not... It's not yell and cheer and do anything Super Bowl-y on Super Bowl. Now, First off, let me put this out here. I grew up in a baseball town. So did Kane, but Kane's a dude. And I can't tell you anything that's happened with football. I'm not even going to pretend. Okay? I'll tell you whatever you want to know about guns. I'll tell you what you want to know about baseball. I ain't even going to pretend and even know what the hell is going on with football. I'm not. My husband, God love him, this man has tried. It's like trying to teach a cat to swim. It's just not going to happen. So this, I mean, he was asking, he was like, well, because he obviously he's going to be watching the Super Bowl. I'm like, honestly, I mean, I might watch it for the commercials, but I thought are people not watching it still? Like, what the hell happened with that? Like, is that still not watching? Like, what's going on with that? Everybody sort of forgot about it. Are people boycotting it or not? I'm not a boycotter, but damn, like what? I'm curious. Where did that go? All of a sudden, all these people that were like, oh, I'm not watching the NFL are like, oh, I can't wait for Super Bowl. I'm like, what? Where's the consistency? I don't know. If you hadn't told me when it was going to be, I would not have known. That's the whole thing. But anyway, it's like, again, Joe Biden talking about guns. But people are saying the CDC issued guidances. I don't need them to issue guidances. Like, they actually issued a recommendations for how to behave in small gatherings. Who are these people? I have some ideas about how you should behave in small gatherings. No shouting, cheering loudly, or singing. Literally. clap, stomp your feet, or bring or provide handheld noisemakers instead. Oh, okay, Mom. This makes me want to actually now watch it and cheer. Because, what did I tell you? I'm so anti-authoritarian. So, I mean, this is literally from their website. Oh, man. Oh, it cringes a lot. Are you ready? Ugh. From the CDC, your friendly government nanny, host a virtual Super Bowl watch party. Okay, I got to stop there because there's nothing more awful that I can think of than not only having to watch a whole damn Super Bowl game, but also having to watch it with other people watching it. Oh my gosh, virtually. So they say, wear clothing or decorate your home with your team, your favorite team's logo or colors. Mm. Make appetizers or snacks with the people you live with, like as opposed to randos. To enjoy while watching the game and share the recipes with your friends and family. Guys, it's pretzels in a bowl. Let's get the recipe. Start a text group with other fans to chat about the game while watching. So not only do you have to go through the living hell of watching it and then watching it with other people online. They want text other people about the living hell you're watching with other people online. Oh my gosh. They're trying to kill you more than the virus. The only, and I realize not everyone thinks like me, all right? I'm kind of an odd bird. But the only time I ever enjoy watching the Super Bowl is when I have, like, my own queso and I'm not in the room with it. That's how. Just saying. So, and then they go, if you do gather outside your home for the game, it's recommended to be outside and sit at least 6 feet away from the people you don't live with. So just sit in the snow 6 feet away, guys. Yay!
Who am I going to high five?
No high fiving. That pushes germs towards you. Man, oh man, oh man. I do know, and Steve reminded me, it's the Chiefs and Tampa Bay. And the only reason I know anything about Tampa Bay is because what's-his-face's boat blew away or something, right? Isn't that what happened? The guys out there are going, your husband needs to come in here. It's football talk. Go sports team. Has baseball season started yet? Has that happened yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, man, I'm going to be a brat when it does. So, anyway, that's just an FYI about that. Even Rachel in here knows about football. Like she, you know what? She's from Tampa, so they had football.
Right.
Like we had football, and then right as we were getting into it, they ruined it.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you had a taste of what it's like to have a football team and actually experience football and love the game. We're going to ruin your life with it. People in St. Louis still aren't over it. Yeah. The best way to get your head beaten in, if you like are anywhere in downtown St. Louis, isn't even to wear like gang colors. It's just to wear like an I love the Rams shirt.
Will you cheer for the other side of the state or no?
I don't know. You know, see, because I know they're Missouri still, but in St. Louis, you are taught at a very early age, it's required for graduation in high school, to hate Kansas City and to think their barbecue is horrible and that they really aren't the home of any kind of blues and they keep trying to steal everything from St. Louis. I mean, we're taught these things, which are true, but we're taught them nonetheless. So that's, I don't know. I mean, even if they were the only football team on earth and they were playing against Russians, who had the only other football team, I think at that point I would.
So I guess you're for Tampa Bay then. Is that what you're saying?
Maybe.
Yeah?
Yeah. I like Tampa Bay because everybody hates Tom Brady.
I actually like Kansas City in this one. I know it seems to be like an underdog for Mahomes against
Brady.
Oh,
you just got side-eyed.
But
you're going to get cut, man.
I think there's going to be Kansas City may pull this one off.
Really?
I think so.
Against the greatest player who ever did it?
Coldest to ever do it?
You think? I can't tell you a damn thing about it, any of his stats. I'm just like, he's really good. Oh, man. Who are you rooting for, Steve?
I think for a couple of reasons. I think Rachel, too. I'm gonna pull for Tampa Bay just because I like Rachel. So.
Yeah, there you go.
Dumb reason.
Nice. See, and I feel
that's
like
a dumb
and I feel
reason,
see,
and,
okay. I, that's my second reason.
And I and Virginia
Rachel's
just
from Tampa.
Virginia just legalized betting, so I'm going to bet on them too, just for extra.
Good for you. Extras is different. I mean, you can't have a damn gun, but you know, go a bet.
Well, every time you know, every time the Bucks actually score a touchdown, you know, they'd shoot out of those cannons from the Buccaneer ship.
No,
the,
I know, I don't.
Would you stop it already?
Go ahead.
Ruin things.
Go ahead. I like that, though. They shoot stuff out.
This year, the NFL is not going to let them do that.
All right, wait, what?
They're not going to allow them to do that this year.
Why? Because it shoots Rona at people?
Because it's shaped like a gun?
No,
I have no idea.
It's a neutral site location, and they can't give any benefits to Tampa, even though they're in their own stadium. So they can't pretend like the Buccaneers are the home team.
That's a benefit, though. Celebrating is a benefit?
I don't know.
Because that is weird that it is, because I do know that it hasn't been like that in a long time. So? And then dim's the rules.
Yeah,
I would do it. I would do it surreptitiously.
Madden NFL 21 predicted Kansas City to be the winner. So,
oh boy, here we go.
Just saying.
Here we go. Well, all I know is that it. Well, if they shoot out, they shouldn't shoot anything out because it might scare OC.
That's true.
Might scare. Okay, I've got to make fun of this all the rest of the show. Just saying. Just buckle up. So she gave. She didn't, when she, I'm not even going to play it because it just is nauseating. 90 minutes. Who? I'm sorry, but if you, when I have friends, personal friends of mine that I know and have been in my home, people I like, and if I see them do anything over 5 minutes on Instagram Live, I'm like, you're crazy. We got to reevaluate our relationship because you crazy. Who does that? Who does it? They just talk to themselves for that long. I don't know. So, she did this. She didn't just do like a. She didn't just do an Instagram Live. She reenacted. It was like AOC CSI, and she like put herself up on the wall. And she and I mean, did you see her? She was like up against the wall, and like I knew like that they were like coming in like, and then like it was like the Capitol Police officer like. So wait a minute. She just. That's it. It's like the sunset in Washington, D.C. And there's AOC against the wall, reliving the rioters who actually didn't storm her building across four lanes of busy road. It was a Capitol Police officer that came in to evacuate her. And she thought he looked hostile. Wait, what? He wasn't but you know what? She allowed everybody to think that it was a rioter that pushed through into her office. And all the media started deleting their tweets because I think they were led to believe it too. And then when they realized, oh, wait, no, that's going to be bad. They quietly deleted all their tweets, quietly deleted them. And then it came out and then Nancy Mace comes out and is like, girl, that didn't happen. Yeah, it didn't happen. But Brian Williams said that it happened and he was there. Sorry. Yeah, Hillary Clinton too. She was like, oh, I was there also. Uh-huh. What? Yeah, they took fire. Gosh. I mean, it's literally across a busy road. That's not where any of the people, they weren't there. They were evacuated from the building as like a precaution. But man, to watch her spin this. And then she, I got to pull this up because this was, this is why you need the newsletter. So Nancy Mace said, AOC made clear she didn't know who was at her door. Breathless attempts by media to fan fictitious news flames are dangerous. My office is two doors down. Insurrection has never stormed our hallway. Egregious doesn't even begin to cover it. Is there nothing MSM won't politicize? And then there's like literally a layout of the grounds and it's like not even anywhere where she was. Okay. And then she got mad. And she took to Twitter to defend herself, yelling at people, showing the graphs. Your arrows aren't accurate. Accurate arrows. Your arrows aren't accurate. And you also failed to show tunnels. You failed to show tunnels. How dare thou? So, I mean, there weren't even any rioters on her side of the street. Where's that bird cage thing? Birdie Watch or whatever the hell that thing is that Twitter won't let me join because it deleted over 500,000 of my followers. Where's that thing at? I mean, aren't they they're supposed to do that stuff, right? I mean, so I've been told. Why do you have to lie about that kind of stuff, right? Golly. We're going to talk more about this because it is. She's still on Twitter trying to defend herself. It's just stop. Take the L, man. Take the L. So we have a lot more on the way, including special forces warned about symbols. Romney's like, the GOP should shut up. Nobody, you're not GOP. You just somehow slapped an R by your name. We'll also get into immigration because I have some theories. I think that Joe Biden is terrified of the progressive, the socialist base of his party, which, by the way, for all the people who want to make like, oh, Marjorie Taylor Greene's one person and she's the whole GOP. Really? Then why is Liz Cheney still in her position of power? So that ended that argument, which is a brilliant move by Kevin McCarthy. But also, why is Joe Biden so terrified of his own party? Maybe it's because the AOCs and the Rashida Tlaibs and Ilhan Omar are the majority and not the minority. So the deportations apparently are at a record pace, and they're not cages for kids anymore. They're overflow detention facilities, guys. And the media is going, oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Listen to The Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa. And then say, Alexa, play The Dana Show podcast.
Again, Hunter Biden has a memoir to be published in April. I guess my question is that book subject to the clearance process, to a clearance review?
Well, there, for those of you who had not seen the news, it was announced, I believe, by Simon and Schuster this morning. I do have a statement from Joe and Jill Biden in their personal capacity as his parents. We admire our son Hunter's strength and courage to talk openly about his addiction so that others might see themselves in his journey and find hope. This is a personal book about his own personal journey, and I will leave it at that.
What about like talking openly about using your dad's position for making money? I mean, I'm curious. What about that? Huh? Off limits? Can't talk about that? Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. Sure. Just, he said he wasn't going to exploit his office, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He also said $2,000 checks, too, so.
Oh, that's right. Nobody got a $2,000 Stimmy check. Thought I was.
Well, they also said they weren't going to ban fracking or anything like that either, so it's weird.
If AOC was a press secretary, she would accuse everybody of trying to murder her. I was murdered. I was murdered.
Here's your word. Here's your word.
I was murdered.
You were murdered. Okay, you obviously weren't murdered because you're alive and you're basically intact. You weren't murdered, buddy.
See, you weren't murdered. It's all right, buddy. It's all right. His memoir, Hunter Biden's memoir, is called Beautiful Things Memoir. Beautiful things like money and strippers and blow. I got the impression that they didn't tell me no, but he's like the third stepbrother from Step Brothers, the movie, with Will Ferrell and the funnier guy whose name I always remember barely.
Yeah, I know. I always forget his name.
And even though he's hysterical. And he is, though. He is totally like the third stepbrother, taking his dad's boat. The Nina, the Pita, the Santa Maria. I'm just saying. Who investors? Maybe you. He's the third stepbrother. Who thinks that he wrote this book? That's right. No one does. No one does. What did you... You thought it was going to be called... I mean, really, Hookers and Blow is probably pretty accurate.
Wasn't it? It was, I think it's Bitches and Blow, I think is what,
yeah, that's
said,
what it was.
But.
Okay.
Blow, well, yeah, first. Blow first. That's what you... First. That would, and then.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Mm. Yeah. Do you get a, I don't even know what they call them. Do you get like a free, I'm like so pure. Do you get like a free package of cocaine with purchase? I'm sure it's not really.
That's what straws.
Yeah. I just, it's just so, why are they telling him, you know what? He needs to stay hidden for a while longer. Let's not do this right now because it's ridiculous. Let's just not. Can you just slow the roll? But this is the Hunter Biden sympathy appeal. Because the Bidens realize that this is the weak link. And he's a hot mess. The guy is a mess. I thought he was spit painting. When did he have time to write? He took all his vast collection of straws and started blowing paint through them. Which is better than, I guess, what he was doing with them. But I'm just saying. Yeah, when you exploit political office and you acted worse towards better people, yeah, then we're going to make fun of this. Yeah, we are. Stick with it.
On that issue, pollution, I understand that you came here with a private jet. Is that an environmental way to travel?
If you offset your carbon, it's the only choice for somebody like me who is traveling the world to win this battle. I negotiated the Paris Accords for the United States. I've been involved in this fight for years. I negotiated with President Xi to bring President Xi to the table. So we can...
Oh, my gosh. John Kerry. Guess who's back? Back again. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, DanaLash.com. Subscribe to Chapter and Verse. So John Kerry, he's fighting climate change with his private jet. Yeah, I decided to fight prostitution by purchasing their services.
He explained, by the way, how he offsets his carbon footprint.
Well, like, Kane, this is in my head. I sound just like him in my head. You go and you hire stupid college kids to plant trees for you in the jungle. That's what it is. I don't know. Isn't that what offset things are? It's like an indulgence. They're selling indulgences. That's what they're doing.
But he says offsetting it is the only option for somebody like him.
Oh my gosh, that's such BS.
You know what I mean? Then he doesn't explain. I just don't get it. And media doesn't even follow up.
No, they don't. Remember, I've been saying forever, I should have gotten into the whole carbon offset thing. Because it's ridiculous. It is a grift. I mean, you can fly 3,000 miles and then you just purchase yourself some 30 carbon offset units and you're fine. Then all of your climate sinning is forgiven. That's it. It's what it is. That's exactly what it is. I mean, this, like, it doesn't do anything. What does it undo? Does it undo the travel?
Offsets, right?
Because every time I flew, I just planted a tree. For every 100 mile, plant a tree. I'm sure you did. Who believes that? Who believes that? You think that people? No. They're just like throwing money out so they can have. Didn't Al Gore run something like that? Yeah, so they basically, what is it? They pay to, like,
carbon credits.
Compensate for, like, what do they build, like a wind thing, a windmill, wind farm, whatever the hell it is? Do they do that? I mean, good grief. But yeah, they have like all. We should have totally gotten into that business. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of logos for my new company that I'm gonna make. You know, it looks like you drove a little too far this weekend. You're going to need to purchase some carbon offset units to compensate for your climate sin. You just spiritually murdered the planet. I was murdered. We're not going to get through this hour, are we? Everything is so ridiculous. Yeah, I'm going to look at this one company because I'm like all about this now. Oh. Nobody does this. I don't believe people do this. Are you really going to make a solar cooker project? This is actually a company that sells this stuff. They're like, we'll help build wind power in Panama. Sure you will. Good heavens. Nobody believes that. And then they have a power plant picture by the starving horse. What in the hell? I got to share this with you. Scroll down until you see the Nokachot something wind power plant. And that horse is about to die. Or is it a camel? I don't even know. It's all skin and bones. I mean, come on. Nobody believes that people do this. He doesn't believe in it.
That's a camel, and that is skin and bones.
Holy smokes. That camel's like about to die.
Holy cow.
Because John Kerry flew on his private plane. He's killing that camel. Camel's dying. A bunch of rich elitists who still don't want to change anything about their lives, but they have the money to throw at other people to shut them up, to throw at the poors. That's all right. I gave the poors some money so I can fly on my private Heinz ketchup jet paid for by another man. Now, I had someone email me because they heard me say something about Heinz ketchup. How I don't use it. I won't allow it in my house because I'm that person who's not over it.
Yeah.
With the carry run, not over it. So I just don't do that. I will purchase a mashed tomato on the side of a road by someone who probably has coronavirus sooner than I would. I'm just like trying to give you like the worst possible representation of my choices there. Tomato. Yeah. So I'm, you know, just saying. Nobody believes that he does this, but they're posers. They're complete posers. I have no choice but to fly my private jet. There's no such thing as commercial travel for me. Nobody cares about you, John Kerry. He also looks just like tired anymore. Yeah. Like when he ran for president, he just looked mean. Now he's like, really? They didn't have anyone else they could put out. He's a climate czar. What's his official? Is that actually his official title? I wouldn't be surprised. But yeah, he goes, it's the only choice for somebody like me. He's a male socialite. That's what he is. He's wealthy because of his wife. And really his wife and her late husband. And I just don't think that anyone who doesn't, again, what did I tell you? People who don't follow their own standards that they demand everyone else do. If you don't follow rules you make, I ain't going to follow them. I mean, I'm not going to follow these if he did anyway. But the point is he doesn't believe it's an issue. You know, this guy flies more privately in a year than you would in 10. Yeah. Don't sit here and tell that little girl. They stuck that. I will at least say this. They stuck that one little girl who's in trouble in India now for something. The Greta Thunberg. They made that kid get on a damn boat and cross the Atlantic. Yeah. I mean, she's a minor for crying out loud. Yeah, she's pretentious and needs to stop. But at least she didn't hop on a private jet. She literally would not get on a jet. I'll get on a boat. You're going to get on a boat in winter and go across. Yes. But not John Kerry. Not for someone like me. Good heavens. And this is the guy who told oil and gas workers that they have to make better choices for their livings. I mean, he was like, they can go make some, why not learn to make solar panels? Remember when he said this? They can go and make the solar panels. You mean like the over 60% of solar panels that are owned and put out by China that have a monopoly over 90% of the world's rare earth elements? That? So they can go work for China? That was his official response. No, he just doesn't care. He's a climate czar. Jar also works. Who doesn't care? He just no. But he's still going to fly around on that private jet. They said, what is it? Because it's owned by his wife, Teresa Hines Carey. She has a private charter jet company, and it's a Gulfstream Aerospace craft. And it let's see. I was looking to see maybe how many miles he's flown on it, but he's spent like hundreds of that. When he was running for president, they had to compensate his wife's company for some of the flights that he took on the private jet, and it was hundreds of thousands of dollars. So I can only imagine. And you know that he's going to now start, you're going to be paying for these. Because he's going to fly private, but because he's a climate czar, I'm in charge of people. Basically, he's like a meteorologist. He's a glorified meteorologist that gets to fly around on a private jet and attend fancy events on the taxpayer dime. That's what he's doing. But he loves Earth, y'all. Loves it.
Will we be on the hook for the carbon offset charges as
Ooh,
well?
Ooh, good question,
Will
King?
Taxpayers have to pay for that?
Are we going to have to pay to plant pretend trees? Just curious.
Not for planting real trees, just for the record.
To lessen your climate sin, we're going to need you to spend X amount of dollars purchasing these carbon offset credits. So for every 50 miles you travel, be it by jet or car, y'all gonna need to buy one of these carbon offset trees. Where are the trees? Oh, we have them. Where are they? Where they are? Where are you gonna plant them? In places where people need shade. Good heavens. So, you know, they're serious, guys. They're serious about the climate. Not actually serious enough to be examples of what you should do, but they're serious about it. Meanwhile, AOC wasn't even in the building when the rioters arrived. Alexandria Ocasio-Smollier trended last night on Twitter. And Nancy Mace said, yeah, no one ever stormed the building. My office is two doors down from you, girl. That's basically what she said on Twitter. And then she like got mad and said, Your arrows were lies or something like that. It was something ridiculous. Oh, she goes, your arrows aren't accurate. They lie. Your arrows lie. You also failed to show tunnels. She was across the street. If you've ever been to the Capitol area, there's like, it's like a 4-lane, like busy road that separates the Cannon House and, you know, the chamber buildings where their offices are from the actual Capitol. And they have tunnels that go underground and stuff. But, you know, there was a Capitol police officer that came in to evacuate her. And she was just, she cannot resist trying to play victim. I can't take seriously people who sit here and act like they're all empowered, but they don't get their empowerment from actually accomplishing anything. They don't get their empowerment for doing something to improve a situation. They don't get their power by maximizing a positive. They get their power by pretending to be a victim and playing that they're weak. Like when she took a picture of herself out like in a parking lot somewhere. At the, like, it wasn't even near the border, right? It was like, and then there was only like a partial fence. If you look at the photo where she's like bent over crying and she's all in her white outfit, if the photographer would have stepped back like 6 feet, the end of the fence would have been there. Yep. You can go around the fence. You don't have to cry in front of it. I was murdered. I need that again in my life. I was murdered.
Here's your word. Here's your word.
I was murdered.
You were murdered. Okay, you obviously weren't murdered because you're alive and you're basically intact. You weren't murdered, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, Ted Cruz.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
I have got to share this one. This is the Perth one that I didn't. I want to make sure I get this in. So West Australia, as you know, is undergoing they're undergoing like a lockdown, and it's getting, you know how it gets, it's getting crazy. And in Perth, a shopper was bitten on the neck, had toilet paper ripped from her grip as panic buying has everybody freaking out. There's a 5-day lockdown. 5 days. You're going to bite somebody on the neck for 5-day lockdown? Grocery stores were chaos. Locals said a woman, someone bit her. They were trying to steal her stuff. Oh my gosh. So, I mean, just seems like the worst way to go about that. So they were in a, and this is because of one recorded single case of coronavirus. One. Just going to put that out there. Let's see. The Justice Department has dropped. We got a new DOJ. They dropped this Yale discrimination suit where they were. The allegation was that they were discriminated against white and Asian students. So the DOJ dropped it. They said that prosecutors said the Justice Department's underlying investigation complied with the federal anti-discrimination laws, that the investigation continues. They said that they accused them in October of violating civil rights because it discriminates on race and national origin and undergraduate admissions. And that comes from a 2016 complaint by the New Jersey-based Asian American Coalition for Education against Yale, Brown, and Dartmouth. So that's, again, like I said, brand new DOJ there. That's kind of interesting. Apparently 9 of 11 Fort Bliss soldiers who mistakenly drank antifreeze are released from the hospital. And it poses the question, how does one mistakenly drink antifreeze? But apparently that happened. On Monday, U.S. Army officials said that they thought it was alcohol. Have they never had alcohol before? Ethylene glycol is clear, colorless, and viscous, kept at room temperature. And antifreeze, it's fluorescent coloring, is typically added. And yeah, that's bad. So they did not indicate the ranks of those who remain hospitalized on Monday or whether or not they ever had liquor before. But dang, come on. And Tampa strip clubs are readying for Super Bowl. They are sanitizing the poles. That's all I'm saying. And that's an actual, literally from the article. Stay with us. Andy McCarthy's coming up.
Dana Lash, your social media debate teacher. Do your homework by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
They asked me whether or not they thought the trial should go forward. They didn't ask me whether or not he should have been impeached. He was impeached by the House. and it has to move forward. Otherwise, it would come off as farcical, what this was all about. I think it's important that there be certain basic standards that people at least are able to see what happened and make their own judgments. I'm not looking for any retribution. I'm not looking. It's just my job is to try to heal the country and move us forward.
Seems weird, a weird way to do that without any kind of like criminal action on the part of someone who isn't in office any longer. Obviously, that's now President Joe Biden. And this, right after, just maybe about 25 minutes ago, Representative Jamie Raskin sent a letter to Trump requesting that he testify under oath either before or during the Senate impeachment trial. This about his conduct on January 6th is the request. So they're asking him to provide to testify in his impeachment trial. Now, is that going to happen? I mean, is this something that he will be prevailed upon to do by other Republicans? Do you think he would? I mean, it's just there's a lot of questions here. But this letter just came out, and I'll put this in our newsletter this evening. Joining me now on this issue, our good friend Andy McCarthy. You know him as the author of the bestseller Ball of Collusion and as the assistant U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, leading the prosecution there in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. And you see him on Fox, too. He joins us on the phone. Andy, always a pleasure. So glad to talk with you. Do you think that Trump is he going to answer Raskin's letter, do you think? And is it smart for him to testify?
Well, I hope he doesn't, Dana. I hope he doesn't answer the letter rather than to politely say no. Of course, if the president did that, it would be the first polite thing he did. But I do think he should say no. If he were president, this would be a real separation of powers problem. You know, Congress doesn't get to subpoena the president. There's a reason why we have lots of very contentious congressional hearings, and you never see the president or the vice president. You really even shouldn't see members of the White House staff testify. It would be just as inappropriate as if the Justice Department of the executive branch started to subpoena, clerical personnel in the different offices of the different lawmakers. They have to respect each other's different sphere. Now, at this time, Trump is no longer the president, which is why this impeachment trial is going to be presided over by a member of the Senate, Patrick Leahy, the president pro tem, rather than the chief justice of the Supreme Court, because the Constitution says that only happens for presidential impeachments. But I think, you know, we always have to remember with this thing that it's a political proceeding, not a legal trial.
Right.
And for purposes of the Democrats, it's a bad enough look to have a trial that is not going to be presided over by a judge. Now, if you're going to start treating Trump, who is in roughly the position of a criminal defendant, if this were a judicial trial, if you're going to treat him like he doesn't have basic due process rights, if you're going to treat him like it in a criminal trial, you would never be able to subpoena the defendant and tell him, you know, we want you to come in and explain this all to us, that, you know, we have a little Fifth Amendment thing that that prevents that from happening. So I just think the more things that they do that looks like this is a partisan show trial rather than something where they're respecting certain norms of due process, the worse it's going to look, because, you know, unless Trump does something really insane, we already know the outcome here. He's not going to be impeached. So all this is about how it looks, I think, at this point.
Yeah, which kind of is antithetical to what Biden was saying in the soundbite we played. He just wants the matter to go forward and unify the country. Well, you can't do that with a political trial. I mean, that doesn't make sense. I don't know if some of these other Republicans, you had a great piece, and I had not actually thought of this angle until I was reading your column over at NRO. It's titled Graham's Threat Does Not Help Trump's Defense, for those who want to read it. But you discussed Senator Lindsey Graham when he was speaking on cable news on Monday night, because he said he was kind of threatening Democrats. Look, if you're going to call, you know, witnesses, this is not going to go in your favor. And he was, you know, kind of throwing some threats and saber rattling. But you say that doesn't help him. Is he trying to help? You kind of have to ask that question now. After I read your column, I'm like, is he trying to help, though?
I think he is trying to help, but, you know, he's making a strategic error. When I was a prosecutor, we used to call defense lawyers who did this sort of thing undercover, U.S. attorneys, because they were more help to us, I think, than they were to their own clients. You know, look, I think what he's trying to do, if you look at it politically, and we have to look at all of this politically, because, again, it's not a legal proceeding.
Right.
So I think the place where the Republican senators want to get to, the needle they need to thread, is they want to be able to look Trump supporters in the eye and tell them they fought the impeachment. But they want to be able to look the rest of the country in the eye and say they didn't approve of what happened on January 6th.
Right.
So the safe haven strategically they've tried to carve out for themselves is this very technical, legal, jurisdictional point about whether the Senate has constitutional authority to try a former president, a non-incumbent official.
Right.
So that enables them to say, we're fighting the impeachment, we're voting against the impeachment, but at the same time, it's a completely legal argument, and it keeps them away from the facts of January 6th. So with that as the background, if that's what your understanding of the chessboard is, then if you're Lindsey Graham, the more they do to call witnesses in and point people to the facts of what happened on January 6th, the less this presentation is about this narrow legal issue, and the more people are going to be focused on the horrific things that happened in the Capitol right. that day. So what he's trying to do, I think, is tell the Democrats, you know, look, we've done impeachment before. We haven't had to have witnesses. We get a bunch of gas bag lawyers for both sides to come in and tell us this is what we think happened. And, you know, we all know the outcome is always predetermined because we already know whether there's going to be enough votes to impeach or not. There, in our history, there's never been. There probably would have been with Nixon. But in the history of the United States, we've never had a president impeached because of the two-thirds supermajority. So you always know going in, you know, probably with 99% certainty what the outcome is going to be.
Right.
So what this is about at this point, I think, is containing political damage. And the Republicans trying to calculate what do we get hurt more by, you know, hyper-defending the president against impeachment or looking like we're excusing what went on January 6th. Graham and the other Republicans want as little attention to the facts of January 6th as possible.
Right. And it seems like a somewhat related to that, an issue that not just the Senate is dealing with, but the House as well. Last night with Green and Cheney, you brought up, we're speaking with Andy McCarthy, Andy, you brought up a really good point in the jurisdiction that the Senate has over someone who isn't even in office anymore. I know the last time we spoke, you were giving some of the history of that. What if Democrats, and I'm curious as to how this would work and if this could even be possible. I mean, if they really do believe and if there is evidence to substantiate some, you know, accusation of criminality and potential conviction, couldn't they just handle that outside of Congress? I mean, couldn't they charge him with incitement outside of that and pursue it privately?
Absolutely. The Constitution is explicit on this point. It says that the penalty for impeachment is limited to removal and disqualification from future office, and any other penalties for the conduct that is underlying the impeachment has to be, you have to go through the normal court processes. So the Constitution expressly contemplates the idea that a president who violates a criminal law or a civil law can be prosecuted or sued civilly. And in fact, we've seen that happen. I mean, with Nixon, with Clinton, we had the whole litigation involving Paula Jones, which was kind of what underlay the conduct that Clinton was ultimately impeached over. Mm-hmm. And if there are criminal offenses, it's always possible to bring a prosecution. That's why Ford pardoned Nixon. I don't think the criminal case against Nixon was particularly compelling. But Ford thought that the best thing for the country at that point was to pardon him and try to put Watergate in the rearview mirror. I think he actually was trying to unify the country as opposed to having a president now who likes to talk a lot about unifying the country. And then it seems to me everything he does is designed to, you know, pull us further apart. But that's a story for another day. But yes, absolutely. You're right. You can do criminal or civil
Right.
The only thing about impeachment is removal and disqualification. That's it.
Goodness. So this, I do feel as though they're going to drag this on as long as possible. But I mean, at some point, maybe they'll get on with the rest of the nation's business instead of focusing so much on Trump for Biden's first 100 days. But I guess we'll see. Our good friend, Andy McCarthy. Andy, always appreciate your breakdown of these issues. And good to talk with you again. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks so much, Dana.
Of course. Take care. Godspeed. We have more to come, folks, as we round out the second broadcast hour. And I'll put the link to that piece because I thought it was it was an angle that I had not yet thought of as it related to Lindsey Graham. I'll put that in the newsletter this evening as well.
How dare you be uninformed?
How dare you?
Let Dana get you up to speed by subscribing to the podcast on Apple Podcasts.
No, you're right. Absolutely. I mean, you're right. And I don't mean to disparage South Africa. It's just a handy shorthand. But I know that that doctors don't like that when we give a geographic origin because we don't know that to be true. But in terms of the 501YV2, I hope.
Good grief. That's Allison Camerota, who is apparently it's okay to say South African variant. It's just handy shorthand. But don't say Wuhan coronavirus. Or Chinese coronavirus or anything like that. Don't do that. Good heavens. Wuhan variant? How about that? Welcome back to the show. Yeah, that's... I've been watching this story about... where's this at? Chris Pratt. Why do people get so mad at Chris Pratt? His brother follows me on Instagram. Why do people get so mad? He's super nice. A police officer. There were these like fake tweets. Like someone photoshopped tweets from him. Who does this? And they were trying to frame him as a white supremacist. I mean, Robert Downey Jr. literally has gone out and defended him and ripped cancel culture before already. Robert Downey Jr. is a saint, but I think he is like one of the most real dudes. He's the realist. You know, guy who messes up and he, you know, shows you he gave Hollywood a lesson about redemption and reconciliation with Mel Gibson. And that was amazing. I will never forget that. It was what is like a Golden Globes thing. And this was after Mel Gibson had gotten, you know, his marriage was over. And that's when he made that remark to the cop when he got pulled over and all this stuff. And he was getting blacklisted. And Robert Downey Jr., instead of giving the speech and talking about himself and his award, he ends up making it. He said that they need to. He humbled Hollywood, and he said that Mel Gibson, after he got arrested for drugs, Robert Downey Jr., that Mel Gibson stepped in for him when nobody would insure him, when he couldn't get hired, when he couldn't get work, and it was Mel Gibson that stepped in to help him. And then I thought that was I think one of the most powerful moments that I've ever seen, because he really. I hope some of those people in that audience felt bad about how judgmental they were. And he checked them. And he never forgot about that. It was something else. But he came out and he was defending the last time that people try. I think people are gunning for Chris Pratt because they think that because he supports the police and veterans and all this stuff. I don't know what his politics are. I don't care. I mean, his wife's family surely isn't Republican, but you know, why do they feel like they got to cancel him just because they even so much as suspect that he's not like-minded? But this was October of last year, because they tried this once already. And Robert Downey Jr. went out and said, "What a world. The sinless are casting stones at my brother, Chris Pratt, a real Christian who lives by principle." And he hashtag Christian and principle. And he's never demonstrated anything but hashtag positivity and hashtag gratitude. I thought that was great. And he got a bunch of negative comments and people were going, "He's a Trump supporter," which he never literally actually ever said anything about that. But good for him. And then Robert Downey Jr. Defended him once already. Well, here it is, you know, this time later, and they photoshopped tweets with slurs and they were trying to pass it off as being him. And his spokesman had to say, like, these literally aren't him. People are awful. Let's kick it into Florida Man.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Let's have a nice Florida story. This is a Florida woman. A Florida woman had to, a Florida girl rather, Harper Mahaney, She was wearing, they were honoring everyday heroes at school, and so she wore a Chick-fil-A uniform to honor everyday heroes. Anyone who would ever question that ain't never been through no drive-thru at Chick-fil-A, because those people are like air traffic controllers. You're in and out, your fries are hot. Stop. And that was sweet that she did that. She dressed as a chick. She dressed in her a Chick-fil-A uniform, and her family manages a Gulf Breeze Chick-fil-A, and they're through a community face group, Anne Marie Stopper, and they gave her some accessories for it as well. So that's awesome. And then she got like a swag bag. So that's very cool. That is a nice story, right? Oh boy, 22-year-old Florida man leaves no doubt where he lives. Matthew Kyle Lethem, a 22-year-old who has a forehead tattoo of the state of Florida, again on his forehead. He was arrested Sunday super early in the morning because he called 911 a couple of times to get a ride home. And then he was cursing at the call taker because they wouldn't accommodate him. So he was charged with misuse of the 911 service, and he got hit with... Because after they arrested him, he had a bunch of pot on him, apparently. Well, you know what? Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Duh. You're going to abuse a 911 system. They're going to come, and if you have something on you, you're going to get it for it. So he works as a cook at a seafood restaurant. He was released on his own recognizance last night for Monday night, Pasco County Jail. He got cited for reckless driving last month. This was after a crash that cost an estimated $8,500 in damages. Jeez. Who is like, I'm going to get a tattoo of my state on my forehead, literally right between my eyebrows? Who does that? This guy. Stay with us. We have more in store after this.
I believe they should be just as protected as we were with 30,000 National Guardsmen. Our children are our future, and they're our most precious resource. I also want to tell you 9/11 absolutely happened. I remember that day crying all day long watching it on the news. And it's a tragedy for anyone to say it didn't happen. And so that I definitely want to tell you, I do not believe that it's fake. I also want to tell you that we've got to do better. You see, big media companies can take teeny tiny pieces of words that I've said, that you have said, any of us, and can portray us into someone that we're not. And that is wrong. Cancel culture is a real thing. It is very real. And when big tech companies like Twitter, you can scroll through and see where someone may have retweeted porn. This is a problem. This is a terrible, terrible thing. But yet, when I say that I absolutely believe with all my heart that God's creation is He created them male and female, and that should not be denied. When I am censored for saying those type of things, that is wrong. You see, here's the real situation. I decided to run for Congress because I wanted to help our country. I want Americans to have our American dream. I want to protect our freedoms. This is what I ran for Congress on. I never once said during my entire campaign, QAnon, I never once said any of the things that I am being accused of today during my campaign. I never said any of these things since I have been elected for Congress. These were words of the past, and these things do not represent me. They do not represent my district, and they do not represent my values. Here's what I can tell you. I am beyond grateful for this opportunity, and I'll tell you why. I believe in God with all my heart, and I'm so grateful to be humbled, to be reminded that I'm a sinner and that Jesus died on the cross to forgive me for my sins. And this is something that I absolutely rejoice in today to tell you all. And I think it's important for all of us to remember, none of us are perfect. None of us are. And none of us can even come close to earning our way into heaven just by our acts and our works. But it's only through the grace of God. And this is why I will tell you, as a member of this Congress, the 117th Congress, I am a passionate person. I'm a competitor. I'm a fighter. I will work with you for good things for the people of this country. But the things I will not stand for is abortion. I think it's the worst thing.
So this is Marjorie Taylor Greene. She was giving remarks on the House floor just a little bit ago. And she, the apologetic portions of her remarks are an echo of what she said yesterday when the GOP conference met and was taking votes as to who their leadership was going to be. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Subscribe to my newsletter, Chapter and Verse, because we talk a lot about this. We've been discussing this. And I have to say, I think that her remarks and her apology, because last night when she spoke to the conference, there were a lot of people out there, including a lot of Republicans, who were saying, no, you have to say it publicly. It doesn't count. Even if she said it publicly, I don't think with some it's still going to count because, you know, she talked about grace. But, you know, I wrote a book called Grace Canceled, and it still apparently is, even by greater measure now. And I don't know what they expected, because after she gave remarks yesterday, I was thinking she's not going to come out and make a public thing tonight. It's like 10 o'clock. It'll be tomorrow when she does it. And of course, I was correct, which is, you know, always, it's always usually, I mean, except if it's about football, because I don't know what's happening. But she came out and gave these remarks today, and her apology, and that was just some of what she said. I think that's gone. She has gone so much further with it than any of the stone throwers on the left have ever done over any of their remarks. And I bring that up to point out that these people who have been screaming the loudest about this, they don't have consistency and therefore have no legitimacy on this issue. Their inconsistency has delegitimized their complaints. And as a result, we need some Republicans to wake up and not be led around by the ear by these people. And, you know, she was kind of, you know, all over in a couple of different areas there. But here's the thing. I don't care what Republicans do on their committees. I don't. I just know that seats are controlled by voters. And if someone thought that she had broken a law, then, you know, charge her or go and campaign in her district. But I will tell you this. I called this days ago. I called it. I said there this fight between or this competition between her and Kevin McCarthy is going to spill over, and that I accurately said that there were some Republicans that were going to use the Green situation as leverage to try to assume more power, which ends up hurting their efforts more and ends up hurting voters more, and I was correct in that. But I have to say, the more I think about it, the more I think that Kevin McCarthy actually handled this very smartly. Now, I don't dislike Liz Cheney. I'm kind of ambivalent. I mean, I don't dislike her. I'm not super fans of any lawmaker. I kind of go along what Psalm says about it. I just don't put no faith in men. Well, except one, but you know what I mean. And so the media was trying so hard to push this narrative that this one lawmaker is representative of the entire Republican Party, ideologically in every way. Marjorie Taylor Greene is completely representative. Even though Democrats have an entire squad, literally, they have a socialist group, they have their progressive caucus, and they act as though that all of those lawmakers aren't representative of them. In fact, they're so representative of the Democrat Party, Joe Biden's terrified to do anything to anger them. Whereas here within the GOP, the real determination of who is actually more reflective was made last night, and the media does not want to address it. This is why they kept saying Liz Cheney's clung to power. If you notice those headlines, there was a specific reason why they were ignoring the fact that it was by a wide margin she retained conference chair. Because the wide margin by which she retained GOP conference chair, again cementing her as the third highest ranking member within the House Republicans, is because that was kind of, entirely, a repudiation of the media narrative that it's just Green that was that's ideologically representative of the GOP. The party that voted to keep Liz Cheney as GOP conference chair. It's hard to say that they are solely ideologically represented by Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now, that's not to ignore the conservatives as opposed to old school Republicans, but do not be played by the media. And I have to say, I keep seeing some of these other lawmakers go out and they're upset. They couldn't believe that. Who was I? I saw one of them. Where is it at? I got to find this piece. I just had it up. There was one lawmaker, a Republican lawmaker, who was going out doing a bunch of interviews about this, saying that, well, it's it was sad that this is what the Republican Party is doing, or something to that effect, and I can't believe that they kept her, that she's still there in the party as though the party was just going to undo her election. It doesn't make any sense. Adam Kinzinger was on he went to CNN. Because, see, nobody was talking about Adam Kinzinger. I don't dislike the guy, but it's like he wants people to dislike him. He says that the party is broken, and that he said that she received a great show of support. So what is he mad about? Liz Cheney. I mean, and this is where I think McCarthy handled this. He handled this properly. And the people who don't understand strategy and are too literal cannot see it. He was saying that he's like, oh, well, the party's broken. He apparently did a number of interviews now that I'm looking at it. And I'm trying to figure out how he sees this. She apologized for her remarks. She talked about redemption. Liz Cheney kept her seat so everybody can calm down. And yet, what? Yeah. So what is this point? I don't understand the grievance theater here. And I also don't understand why you're going to go to CNN and complain about it. He was on New Day today. And he says, I think he's mad at Matt Gaetz because Matt Gaetz doesn't like Liz Cheney. I've had Matt Gaetz on the show before. I don't get involved in the power jockeying because I don't care. I really don't. They can dislike each other all they want to. I don't care. And Kinzinger was, he was kind of making fun of Matt Gaetz because Matt Gaetz said that, oh, they were going to oust Cheney, and Cheney won by, Cheney, and to her credit, she wanted a vote. So now all these Republicans are going to try to figure out, oh, wait a minute, where can we go so we can suck up and get power? And they're going to shift themselves and adjust their footing accordingly. Meanwhile, while this is happening, you have the immigration issue. Border patrol chiefs are saying, hi, this is bad. It's bad down here. Just FYI. It's getting worse because the policy that was, just an FYI. You also have whether it's the climate change bill, whatever it is. Yeah, here's a piece that a Biden administration prepares to open overflow facility for migrant children. What? Overflow. I thought, so we're calling cages for children overflow facilities now, are we? Oh my goodness. Well, he put them in cages when he was vice president, so. Yep. That's why, and that policy continued when Trump was in office, and then when everyone was yelling about it, then he ended it. HHS is going to reopen a facility in Carrizo Springs, Texas, that can accommodate 700 children. You mean cages?
Yep.
That's what they're overflow facilities. Why didn't...
If this was Trump who did this, if he had maintained a second term and this was, they were reopening one of these facilities, it'd be kids in cages all over again.
Yeah. Overflow facilities.
Listen to The Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa. And then say, Alexa, play The Dana Show podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
A hungry, maskless robber steals chicken from a restaurant. I'm trying to figure out. I mean, I love chicken, but like to do Roscoe's House of Chicken and Waffles like this? New York Post says that a hungry armed robber, held up a California restaurant, demanded that workers put all the chicken in the bag. He was kicked out of the restaurant earlier because he didn't wear a mask. He didn't wear 6 feet of masks on his face. It was at Roscoe's House of Chicken and Waffles in Pasadena. And he was not after money. Like, he didn't take any money. He said, put all the chicken in the bag. And one worker, Robert Gonzalez, who's a cook there, goes, the guy just said, put all the chicken in the bag. I understand we've got good chicken, but man, this is like not, I'm not making any of this up. Oh boy. So then he took off in a car that was driven by a woman. Surveillance video got a good glimpse of him because he wasn't wearing a mask. There you go. 6 feet of masks. Look, masks are good for something. They help cover your face when you're robbing. Oh, wait. Oh, let's see. After they solved everything else, Connecticut wants to declare pizza their official food. Yes, critics are blasting a bill to make pizza Connecticut's official state food. Really? That's their thing. That's what they're arguing about right now? Connecticut. Really? Okay, well, there you have it. Francis closes St. Bart's. That's where I only know about that place because Paul McCartney apparently goes there, and they always get pictures of him topless in all his Paul McCartney glory out there in the water. Man alive. But they're shutting down because of the coronavirus. The Caribbean island, popular with celebs. Very expensive island. But local authorities in St. Bart's, they're fuming about new restrictions. So they have apparently some pretty strict restrictions put into place. And so they say jet setters, well, you're not going to be able to come right now for vacations, for any of your vacations, because we're shutting things down. Oh, boy. They said that's coronavirus protocols issued by the French government. So that's, I don't know how many vacations that ruins, but you know. And then let's see, Ben Carson launches a conservative think tank. We needed another one of those, right? We're so short on the conservative think tanks. We have none. We need more white papers and all that stuff. Stay with us. A lot more in store.
We're not going to force you to wear a mask, but if you do head out, take the Dana Show with you by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
One more question, if I could. Sorry about the president's comments last night as he was paying his respects to the FBI agents that lost their lives or were injured. He said, by and large, the vast majority of these men and women are decent, honorable people. What did he mean by that, the vast majority part?
That's exactly what he meant. Go ahead, Kristen.
Jen Sakai there.
What about the minority?
Yeah, that's... What about the minority, though? That was her response when Joe Biden had said, oh, you know, some of the people in the FBI are really, oh my gosh. That was just a stupid comment for him to make. Welcome back to the show, Dana Lash. There's some good FBI agents out there. There really are. FBI agents, by and large. I mean, I've worked with them on threats and stuff that Twitter's allowed. They're awesome. It's the leadership of the FBI that we've always slammed. That's the problem. Oh, I have to share with you. I don't think she's a good press conference. I don't think she's a good press secretary. I mean, I'm trying to, you know, give some benefit of the doubt, you know, like give some grace because nobody does that. It's, you know, she's 2 weeks in. But still, this is not when you're time for learning on the job. It really isn't. Not time for learning on the job at all. So this is... I don't know what that was. I just heard something. This is a letter that Trump sent where he resigned from, because it just hit the Webernets and it's kind of funny and I have to, oh my goodness. It was written today and he says he's resigning from SAG, Screen Artists Guild, the Actors Union. Yeah, Screen Actors Guild. What's their union? Screen Actors Guild. He writes this. Oh my gosh, I just realized Gabrielle Cartieri's from 90210 is like the head of SAG.
What?
I forgot about that. I remember reading the song. Yes, Google it. The smart one from 90210. Brown-headed smart one. She's like the only brunette on the show. Well, besides when they had Tiffany Amber Thiessen after Saved by the Bell. But she's like the head of SAG. Isn't that crazy?
As of 2019?
Yeah. Because I was like, huh. He writes, Ms. Cartieris. This is my, I can't do a Trump impersonation, so don't even at me. The letter reads, I write to you today regarding the so-called disciplinary committee hearing aimed at revoking my union membership. Who cares? While I'm not familiar with your work, I'm very proud of my work on movies such as Home Alone 2, Zoolander, and Wall Street Money Never Sleeps, and television shows, including The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Saturday Night Live, and of course, one of the most successful shows in television history, The Apprentice, to name just a few. I've also greatly helped the cable news television business, said to be a dying platform with not much time left until I got involved in politics, and created thousands of jobs at networks such as MSDNC and Fake News CNN, among many others. Which brings me to your blatant attempt at free media attention to distract from your dismal record as a union. Your organization has done little for its members and nothing for me besides collecting dues and promoting dangerous un-American policies and ideas, as evident by your massive unemployment rates and lawsuits from celebrated actors who even recorded a video asking, quote, why isn't the union fighting for me? These, however, are policy failures. Your disciplinary failures are even more egregious. I no longer wish to be associated with your union. As of such, this letter is to inform you of my immediate resignation from SAG-AFTRA. You've done nothing for me. President Donald J. Trump. Oh, man.
Suck it, Gabby.
Oh my gosh, this is so great. Oh man, put him back on Twitter. The hell, gosh. Oh man, alive. So, oh boy, that's one for the ages. Did I send you guys this? I didn't put this in Slack so you could like read, follow it all. Oh, it's beautiful. What in the world? That's so wait, why would they, are they actually, they're really, hang on. Are you serious? Why, who is that? Why are people so, oh yeah, no, that's real. Oh yeah. Yeah, they were going to move to expel him, the union. I have friends who act and they were like, if you aren't in, like they reduced like the benefits and all kinds of stuff as to what you get. Like SAG doesn't, has not apparently been fighting for them. Oh my goodness. Thus, the number of actors making that video. Oh my gosh! Oh my lord! Dang! What was her name on 90210? Cartieris. What was SAG president's name on 90210?
It was Andrea.
Andrea. Next, Andrea is head of SAG. What happens when she tries to remove the former president, who has much more success than she does, I might add, from SAG-AFTRA? Next on Days of Our 90210 SAG-AFTRA.
The most 90s sounding song I've ever heard in my life.
Right? And then when it gets to keep it going, because when it gets serious, this is totally going to get flagged on YouTube. One finger salute to the censors. Whenever the music got serious and the guitar got serious, that's when Luke Perry would walk onto the screen. So you could go, oh, the music's telling me he's the bad boy. I like him now. Man. And do you remember David Silver? That's like before he actually like grew up. He was like all awkward. And how bad did that suck if you were like an awkward like young teenager on television? I mean, not only did you have to try to like get away from pedophiles, but then you also had to like grow up on camera in that awkward phase. Oh man. So that's a good one. That's a straight good letter. Golly. That was I missed that rebuke. Because now you have Republicans who are, see, this is why people like him, right? That you can be nice, but at the same time, you don't have to be a pushover. And Republicans have been pushovers. Not all of them, but a lot of them have been pushovers. I do love it how they suddenly develop the will to fight. You know, here after Trump's gone, oh, we're fighting now. Look at us fight. Oh, you guys are fighting each other in your own conference. Oh, not the same thing. Meanwhile, the rest of us are like, are you guys going to do that for us? No, we're only fighting for our own interests in our own conference. Shh. This is why people get mad at the GOP, because of that kind of stuff. This is what they want. I am just, I'm cracking up at this. It's hysterical. Well, I guess that took all the, man, can I have to share one tweet exchange that has nothing to do with any of what I'm talking about. Okay. That just flashed across. Squirrel. No, because it is one of the most brilliant put downs that I've ever seen. And I'm going to follow. Oh, I follow this guy. So I follow this guy. He's, you know, he's a libertarian. He's like a bodybuilder, apparently. And because it's important to progressives, he's a black libertarian. And apparently he, I don't know if it's like some, like, I don't know, some person racially slurred him. And it was a person, I'm just the messenger. This guy, he's Iraqi. And he slurred him. He asked him, how was your cabin, Uncle Tom? That's what he tweeted at him, which is horrible. Malcolm Flex is this guy's name. So if that's not your first clue to not step up, I don't know what to tell you. And he replied, pretty warm. Just installed some new smart lighting. How is your village after the drone strikes?
Oh, man.
We are all hurting. Did you feel the rush of wind from that smackdown? Oh, my gosh.
Somebody hit the nuke button.
Oh, wrong button. Wrong button.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I can't even. I mean, I have to give that tweet props, man. That's. That's how it's done, folks. That's how it's done. Oh, man. The perfect tweet doesn't exist. Oh, wait. I just don't. Malcolm Flex. Like, why would you even argue with this guy? Oh, man. You guys needed that, right? Because I regret to inform you today, beginning at what time? What time did I say? 4:30? Oh, yes. Today around 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern. Let me just read you. Lawmakers are going to share their personal stories of the January 6th attack on the House floor tonight. AOC will kick off the special order hour. Members of Congress will come together on the floor today to recount their experiences of the January 6th Capitol attacks. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez worked with the Congressional Progressive Caucus to organize the special defense hour, order hour, with the goal of creating space for members to talk about their actual and completely not at all made up lived experience and to call for accountability. The squad, it's all the squad that's going to talk. Oh boy.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
All right, guys, Dana Lash here. We've got some breaking news. We got some SAG news, SAG after news. As you know, former President Trump sent a letter to Gabrielle Cartieris Andrea from 90210, who is the head of SAG, telling her that she's done nothing and he's done with it and he's resigning. To recap quickly, the former president said, I'm writing you about the so-called disciplinary committee hearing aimed at revoking my membership. Who cares? I've greatly helped cable news. He lists all his movies and he says that he even mentions the celebrated actors who recorded a video saying, why isn't the union fighting for me? He goes, I no longer wish to be associated with your union. He blasted them. So SAG responded, and their response is thank you. And there you have it, folks. the latest in SAG news. SAG news. Gas backwards. Yeah, I feel like that was important to say. It's a good information to have, right?
Oh, my Lord.
Like, what if you're, like, locked in a room and it's going to explode and the only way you can get out is, like, to know little trivial things like that? Mm. You don't think that way? I only think that way right when I'm getting ready to go to bed. So... Oh, man. So that's where we are. Now, you know that the theater, the Squad Theater, is going to be taking place at 4:30 p.m. today on the floor. Biden is talking some foreign policy stuff. Right now he's giving a foreign policy speech. And someone needs to make the font on the teleprompter larger for him. Because I feel like he's got some difficulty. Or is he doing that? Like, now, no offense to old dudes, but, like, older dudes squint when they get mad. Have you noticed that? Like, think of every grandpa you know. They do. I mean, if there's no sun out and they're making that face, run.
Yeah, it's bad news.
Right? That means something's happening.
Yeah.
So, I'm just saying. Oh, my gosh. So, tomorrow being Friday, I can't believe we made it through the week. This is what, week three? No, week two. Week two of the Biden administration?
This is week 3, wouldn't it?
Week three? Yeah.
Maybe it is, because if week one was inauguration, then
yeah. And so, you know, just like to recap, I mean, he's already, you know, damaged our relations with Canada. We've lost a bunch of jobs. We're putting oil on railways now and using more fossil fuels to transport oil so we could save the planet.
It's counterproductive.
It does it, though?
Yeah.
Using rails that use gas and oil to transport oil instead of just a pipeline?
Yep.
That's better for the environment.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's taking the oil out of the planet, which is bad for it. And that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We have China, who's, they're getting froggy. And so, great, right? We're moving in a great direction.
Yeah.
What direction are we moving in? Do we know?
Like,
yeah, I mean, that's just, woo, right there. And then all the Rona is away, like Newark's, their numbers are worse than they ever were. Mm-hmm. But hey, you can go ahead and reopen everything now. Because... Trump, it's Trump's not in office, but yet they're still going to go forward with trying to impeach for something. So, I mean, there we are. I mean, it's, you know, we're just in great shape. We'll get through it. We'll get through it. I had a couple of more things to add, and I didn't even get to everything today. We're going to talk about some business issues tomorrow. Ooh, but speaking of Rona, if tomorrow we'll also hit, if you're visiting a national park, you're going to have to wear your mask even outside.
What?
In the air and sunshine. Yeah, 6 feet of masks at all time, everyone. 6 feet of masks. No, I think you mean 6 feet. No, 6 feet of masks. They said to wear, if two masks means it's like you're better protected, 6 feet of them means you're bulletproof, right? That's the Kane today in stupidity.
All right, Maxine Waters was yapping, and, you know, it's usually insightful and hateful, so let's hear what she says.
They are following the president of the United States of America, who had advanced planning about the invasion that took place in our capital. And even there's information that some of the planning came out of individuals working in his campaign. As a matter of fact, he absolutely should be charged with premeditated murder.
Murder.
That escalated quickly.
Murder is the case that they gave me. So, yes, that's. Folks, it's going to be a wild ride tomorrow.